Thank you. Well, it's so great to be home. I do travel quite a bit, and it's always wonderful to be home. I thank Pastor Ken for that great introduction. I wish I could thank him in person, but he's in Hawaii, so I would have to go there. And I'm just really grateful. You know, Pastor has been teaching 40 days of change and how we can be world changers. We have learned what that looks like. How do we change the world? What are some ways that we can do that? What does that actually mean? And today, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper in some real practical elements of how you can change your world by being a hero or a hero at home. Currently, 1% of our nation's population protects the rights and the freedoms of the other 99% of us by serving in the United States Armed Forces. In addition, less than 1% of those in our communities serve by being first responders, whether that's law enforcement, fire, or EMT. Now, putting on the uniform for these individuals does not make them a hero, but wearing that uniform and serving with a sense of integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all they do, now that is pretty heroic. But there is a second kind of hero amongst us today, and those are the moms and dads, the spouses, the children of these heroes that serve. And when you support these people in our community and around the world, you are a hero at home. So we're going to look at very specifically what that means. But before we do that, let me just give you a little bit of background about the Kay family. When I married my husband a number of years ago, I got a 3-for-1 deal. I married what I call the world's greatest fighter pilot, and I inherited 2 beautiful stepdaughters. And my husband, who was in the Guard at the time, said, "Hey, can we have a picture of my family up there? They want to see who I'm talking about." There we go, there they are. My husband said that he was in the Guard at the time. He said, "Let's join the active duty and we can see the world." But what he showed me was 5 more babies in the first 7 years of marriage. So watch it when a fighter pilot says that. And then we took the show on the road because we moved 11 times in 13 years. And I learned very quickly that I was going to have to learn to look at life in a funny way, or I was going to end up on the funny farm. And being a mother of a lot of children, my children helped me do that, kind of look at the light side of life. When I tried to connect with my children, one of the things I would do when they were little was I would take them to run errands. And one day I took my youngest son, Joshua, who was 4 years old at the time, I took him to run some errands with me. And we went to the grocery store and he was helping me put groceries on the belt. And the cashier looked at him and she said, "Oh my goodness, you're so helpful." And he says, "Yeah, and not only that, but I'm good at sports because I can score goals in soccer." I thought, "Oh, that's nice." So then we went to the post office and something similar happened. And he was helping with that. And the postal clerk looked at him and said, "Oh my goodness, I bet your mom is glad to have you here." He goes, "Yes, she is. And not only that, but I'm smart. I can write my name, Joshua." So I thought, okay, we might have to have a talk later. And then we went home, and any of you who have ever had a 4-year-old, you know that if they disappear for half an hour and they're really quiet, you better go find out what's going on. So he disappeared and I went looking for him and I found him in one of the upstairs bathrooms and he was just staring at himself in the mirror. I said, "Joshua, what are you doing?" He goes, "Mama, have you ever noticed how handsome I am?" And I said, "Okay, Joshua, we're gonna have to have a talk here. You know, I think it's great that you're good at sports and that you can write your name. That's called confidence. But when you start telling other people about these things, it's called arrogance, and it's not good to be arrogant, so you have to watch that." So he really thought about it for a few minutes, and he says, "You know what, Mama? I really think that I may be arrogant, because I know I'm smart, I know I'm good at sports, and I know I'm handsome." And that's the son that joined the Army. So now we're going to look at a few of the characteristics that make up a hero and a hero at home. And you guys are essentially sitting in on what I tell our troops around the world. I can't use the scripture when I'm in that venue that like I can use today. But they're getting the same message that you're getting, because you can be the ones at home that become heroes in your community as you become life changers and you apply the message that Pastor Ken has been giving us and that you're hearing this morning as you allow God to work in and through you to make a huge difference in this world. In fact, I believe that every person here today is called to be a hero in some way in their world, and that God has got a plan for you to do that as he works with you to bring that about. So as we go through this, you have your outline, and in the outline, there's some application questions where I want you to fill in the blanks today so that you can take some of this with you as you walk out that door, so that others in the community, they would see Jesus as we walk out. So let's look at these characteristics. Now, as I go through them, some of you will say, oh, I got that one, I got that one, and that's fine. But there may be some others where you think, huh, I really need to work on that. And that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will convict you of what you're doing right and what you're doing well and where you need to trust him to do even more as he works through you to do that. The first characteristic is a sense of humor. And I remember the day that I lost my joy. It was right after 9/11. And for those of you that remember 9/11, you know that our world's completely changed. And for those that were in the military at the time that happened, it rocked our world. The world's greatest fighter pilot, my husband, was flying the stealth F-117 at the time. And if they were to deploy at that moment, within a week or two, he was scheduled to be on the first sortie in downtown Baghdad. So his mobility bag was packed and it was in the corner of the room. And I was home with all of these kids. And I was waiting for the day when the call would come. And I didn't realize how the burden of that had slowly robbed me of my sense of humor, of my joy, until I went to school to pick up my kids. And one of my sons was in the fourth grade, and he comes running up to me after school, and he says, hey, mama, when the other mamas see their children, when they come out of school, they smile and they're happy. Aren't you happy to see me, mama? Because you never smile. And it just hit me in my heart. And I thought, when did I lose my joy? And I purposed in my heart at that moment that, Lord, no matter what happens, I will trust you to bring back the joy, even in the midst of difficulty. Now, one of the ways I learned to do this was really practical. And it was shared, the story was shared to me by a general's wife. It's the story of Scarlett O'Hara. And maybe some of you have heard it. You see, Scarlett O'Hara went off to finishing school. And when she came back, she had tea with her frenemy, Melanie. And Melanie was giving her all the news, and Melanie said, well, Scarlett, I have to tell you that Ashley and I are engaged to be married. And Scarlett said, well, how nice. And that's because she wanted to marry Ashley. Well, Melanie said, and not only that, Scarlett, but my papa, he's gotten my wedding trousseau all the way from Paris, France. And Scarlett said, how nice. And Melanie said, Scarlett, I must say, I have found you much changed. Whatever did they teach you at that finishing school? And Scarlett said, well, Melanie, it's really quite simple. They taught me to say how nice when I really want to say drop dead. So, you know, this could have come in handy for Kelly when she was told that she's coming back from Hawaii while they're staying. You could have looked at Pastor Ken and said, well, how nice. But Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And this technique of introducing humor to lighten the load, even in serious situations sometimes, has been used by great people, including Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan had been shot and he was being rushed into the emergency room in a life or death situation, as he was wheeled in, he looked at the doctor in charge and he said to the doctor, "I sure hope you're a Republican." And the doctor responded, "Today, Mr. President, we're all Republicans." You see, that can lighten the load. And humor is something that my first grade teacher, Mrs. Comparine, and by the way, you talk about some heroes at home, our educators are truly that as they work with children. She used to tell me that a smile is one thing that's multiplied when it's given away. So I would challenge you this week to bring humor to somebody else, someone that may be having a bad day. When I was traveling recently, I went to a Starbucks, and we were all in line, and the buzz went through the line about this woman that was working there, and she was having a no good, very bad, terrible, horrible, no good day. And she was treating everybody rudely. You just wondered what was going on. And people were getting angry. A person after the other was getting angry. And so she waited on me, and when she was done waiting on me, I did something that truly embarrasses my children whenever I do something like this. But I looked at her and I said, "I would like to give you something." And it took her aback. And she said, "What?" And I said, "I would like to give you something today." And she says, "Okay." And I looked at her and I went, it embarrasses my children, but she smiled, just like she couldn't help herself. She just smiled. And so, think about that. Now, here's the application. I can develop my sense of humor by filling your blank. And then let's move on. The next characteristic of a hero and a hero at home is that they're patriotic. This really came home to me when I was at a writers' conference in Fort Worth, Texas. And at this conference, we went, after everything was over, to a big gathering place called Billy Bob's. Now, Billy Bob's was not a place that just had 100 tables of 10 people. It was one of the world's largest gathering places, and it had 1,000 tables with 10 people. It was huge. And there was this group that was playing called Black Hawk. And at the end of Black Hawk's set, they would always play our national anthem. And when they started playing the Star Spangled Banner, an Air Force wife stood up at our table, put her hand over her heart. I wish I could say I was the first, but she was, and I followed her lead, and I showed my patriotism, and slowly it started to spread across that entire room to where when they got to the end of the song, every person in that loud, noisy place was quiet, and they were standing up, because you see, being patriotic can be contagious. So what does patriotism look like for the believer? What does that look like for us as we are trying to be world changers, as we are trying to fulfill the purpose that only we can fulfill as God works in us? Well, one of the scriptures for that is Romans 1:16, and if you have your notes, it's in there. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile." You see, not being ashamed of who we are in Christ Jesus is that version or that application for us. So let me give you a couple of examples of what that looks like. For those of you that may not be aware, in a fighter squadron that is filled with fighter pilots, they sometimes use bad language. I know that's a shock, and I'm sorry to be the one to tell you that. But my husband was different. He wouldn't use that bad language. He wouldn't stay there when they're telling lewd jokes. If the Hooter girls showed up, he'd go to the back room. These are all things that happen in a fighter squadron. And people got to know that K-Bob was a little bit different. And they would come to him and say, "Well, you know, K-Bob, like you're religious." And Bob's answer would be, "I'm not religious. I just have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." And they would say, "Yeah, well, that's what we meant." But that was the way that he was not ashamed. You see, sometimes it's a quiet type of standing up for him. And other times it's bolder. And there's more on the line for that. like our brothers and sisters in Egypt and other places around the world. Now, when they stand up and are not ashamed, there's sometimes a much higher price to pay. Being not ashamed of the gospel means that we are also out to try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people when God puts that on our heart. So I ask you to fill in the blank there. I can share the gospel with blank in word and in deed. You see, our actions speak so much louder. You've heard the saying that you're the only Bible that some people may ever read. It is our lifestyle that shows them the love of Christ and that we're different. So let's transition into the next characteristic, which is courage. Courage for us may be courage to ask for forgiveness. That's sometimes difficult, to go to someone and to say, you know, I really blew it with you. I am so sorry that I said that. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I mean, it sounds simple, but sometimes it's really not. So courage sometimes looks like that in that situation. Courage sometimes means that we're transparent and we say, hey, I don't have all the answers, but I'll try to help you find them. And I'll be transparent with you and share something with you that took some courage for me recently. As I work in Heroes at Home, we work in a secular environment. We're not just in chapel programs. We are out in the military meeting the troops directly. And not everyone that we work with is a believer, obviously. And so there are people that I work with on a regular basis that come from different backgrounds. And one of the people that I was working with was talking about her philosophy of leadership. And she starts talking about a leader is this and that, and I think this, this, and that. And in the middle of her story, she said, Jesus Christ! And then she continued her story. So I listened to her and I heard her out. And the verse that came to my mind was, I haven't written this in your outline. If you want to write it down, you can. There's two verses. It's Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. The first one says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him. And then the second one says, answer a fool according to his folly, that he not be wise in his own eyes. You see, when we ask God for courage, there are times when we will be quiet. And there were times when we will not answer them. See, it's not our job as believers to set everybody straight. You know, the world looks at Christians sometimes as the church lady on Saturday Night Live. As someone who's that, well, okay, yep, you did that wrong and you did this wrong. And someone with no joy, no sense of humor, no fun, no relevancy in the world. But as we follow the path of the Master, he will guide us and direct us as to when to speak and when not to speak. And when this thing happened, I knew I had to speak up. So the first thing I did was I addressed what she was saying about leaders, which I agreed with. And I said, you know, you're absolutely right about this aspect of leadership. I completely agree with you. And my director of communications, who's a very strong believer, she said that as soon as I started answering this person, she knew, uh-oh, I know what's coming. Because she could hear the tone of my voice, which was very professional. And I said, and oh, by the way, when you said that thing about Jesus Christ in the middle of your story, do you mean Jesus Christ as in Jesus my friend? Because you see, Jesus helped me from the age of 7 to survive a very abusive childhood. Jesus helped me get through a very destructive, harmful first relationship in my early 20s. Jesus is the one that I give the credit to, empowering me to write 15 books, to go out and speak in front of 8,000 people in an arena and not faint. Are you talking about that Jesus? Because he is my best friend. Amen. And she's like, oh, well. Yeah, okay, yeah. You see, Jesus is a friend of mine, and he gives us courage to have the wisdom and the kindness and the love to speak his truth in due season and to know when to say something and when not to say it. And I am telling you here, there is someone here today that God is going to call you to show courage this next week. And in James 4:17, it says, James 4:17. For him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And I am telling you, when God prompts you to say something or to do something that you know it's from him, and you may not want to do it, it may be scary, it may take courage, but when he prompts you to do it, if you sit back and you don't do it, well, the Bible says it's not so good. So we can have that kind of courage. But what does courage look like to our military members specifically? Because that's who I work with in the Heroes at Home program. I want to share with you that story behind me right now. There's a gal named Michelle. And by the way, the vast majority of people serving in the military today have volunteered during a time of war. They know what they're getting into in terms of what's going on in the world, and they volunteered during that time of war. Michelle's husband was in the Striker Brigade. He was gone for 365 days with the entire unit. As they were gone for a year, most of the families went down into the lower 48 states because they were up in Alaska, and they waited it out. Young families, if they don't want to have to stay in Alaska for a year by themselves while their military member's gone. So a lot of these people are 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and they have to save all their pennies to be able to afford that one plane ticket, or maybe two if they're having a child or more go with them, and wait down in the lower 48. So they had all come back. Their military members were due to come home, and the Secretary of Defense decided that the half that were coming home were going to be redeployed in 3 days and sent right back out to Afghanistan again, and that the other half that was supposed to come home, they just kept them back. And they extended everybody 3 months, which was right through the holidays. In that unit, there were men that were serving. At the time, combat wasn't open to women. So this was a close-armed unit. And the people in the audience were women. You see, Michelle was in the same boat as everybody else. That baby had not yet met his daddy. And yet she looked outside of herself because, you see, courage sometimes means encouraging, which means to bring courage to. And so the application here was that Michelle looked outside of herself and wanted to bring courage to the other people in her unit, so she very quickly mobilized the community. She got a local doctor to donate points to fly my team out. She got other community leaders to donate money to buy books. And she assembled a Heroes at Home event for those spouses. So I spoke to those spouses in the morning, and the Secretary of Defense spoke to them in the afternoon. And when I got to this part of the message about courage, I said, many of you don't know what to do, but what you are supposed to do is very simple, even though it's hard to do. And that is to simply hold it together. When you talk to your military member, you may be angry, but you do not vent on that military member. Instead, you say, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I'm going to be all right. And the reason that you're doing that is because your military member has not been extended because they chose to. They got extended because they were told to, and they are doing their duty. And if they worried about you because of the things that you're posting on social media or because you vent with them when you talk to them on the phone, then they could be distracted by that. And when there are distractions, especially in a combat theater, then there can be accidents. And when there are accidents, there can be loss of life. So if you want to save lives half a world away, you have the courage to tell them, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I'm going to be all right. And you simply hold it together. And only a mother of seven could tell them that they would listen to it. And I said, and then when they come back home, all bets are off. They get the baby with the poopy diaper. You go get them mani-pedi. But it's when they're there in harm's way that you have this attitude as a hero at home to show this courage. So as they left and I was autographing books for them, woman after woman said, "Thank you. Now I know what I need to do." And hope was restored because of Michelle bringing encouragement to this group. We went home, and 3 days later, I got a phone call. And Michelle told me that one of the women that was sitting in my audience got notification that her husband would not be coming home for Christmas or forever. And when she got that notification, she said, "I'm so glad that I had that Heroes at Home conference. Because the last time I ever talked to my husband, I was going to vent. He's my best friend. I tell him everything. And I was going to say, I hate the Army. I can't believe you did this to me. This is our last assignment. I can't stand this anymore." But instead, I have the confidence of knowing that the last words I ever spoke to my husband were, "Baby, I love you. I am so proud of you. And I'm going to be all right." You see, the courage that we ask of our heroes and of those who love them is inordinate. But it's a courage that we can give them. And as we look outside of ourselves to bring courage to. The verse for this is Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." As you fill in this blank, prayerfully consider, "I can bring courage to blank this week." Who do you need to encourage this week? The next characteristic is that our heroes and our heroes at home are faithful. I've had a husband that has flown fighters. He flew fighters for 30 years. But I have a son that's a Marine, infantry, who has served in Afghanistan and Iraq. I have another son in the Air Force that's going through pilot training. And then I have my baby, once again, over at West Point, who's going to go into, he is in the Army. He will be going into infantry or branching something similar. And people will say, "Ellie, how do you do it? It's hard to send a husband off into harm's way. How do you send your children?" And I will tell you that it is, for me as a mama, it's more difficult to send my babies off than it was my husband. No offense to the world's greatest fighter pilot, but it really was. And the way I did it was through faith. When my son was in Afghanistan, he was in weekly firefights and air assault missions. I never knew when he was going out into battle and when he was coming back. I'd get an occasional text from him. And when that happened, I believed that God Most High would hear my prayers when I prayed for protection around him and that he would answer them. You see, when that boy was a baby, I dedicated him to God. And God said, "I am able to keep that which you have entrusted into me until that day." And I also believed the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and God would take care of us no matter what the outcome. So that I had a reason to share with people the reason for the hope that lied within me. And it is this faith. It is the faith that's under fire. And that is the kind of faith that God is calling you to in whatever situation that you are in. I got a text from my Marine when he was in Afghanistan, and I'd like to share it with you. He says, "Mama, Ramadan has started, but no one told the Taliban they are still fighting. We also went out on the 4th of July and got a literal taste of rockets, red glare, bombs bursting in air. It was kind of cool. We had 40 millimeter grenades going off, machine guns shooting at us as well. And then an Air Force F-16 flew really low to do a show of force, to scare the Taliban away so we could load our birds. Mama, we gave them a good taste of American freedom. And my first thought was, why on earth would you share that with your mama? Really? Grenade going off, kind of cool, machine guns shooting at us? My second thought was, I was so thankful that God sent the Air Force to help my son, because he can work through anyone. And I was thankful for that. And you know, in the military, there is a religious faith that our military members can choose to have or to not have. There is also faith in their training. And when disaster happens, they rely on their training. When the world's greatest fighter pilot was flying the stealth, he had an incident where he lost all hydraulics. And what this means is he had to land a $60 million aircraft with no brakes. So he called an emergency, and he had to come in and land hot. What that means is he's going really, really fast. And as he landed, he was zooming along the runway, and he thought, I am a passenger in this airplane with no control. And his very first thing that he did was he shot up a prayer, Dear Lord Jesus, help me. And then the second thing he did was he relied on his training. He recycled all his switches. That allowed enough hydraulics to get into the system to provide enough braking to save that weapon system from crashing into the barrier at the end of the runway. And so he relied on his training. You know, for us as believers, you are well trained if you come to the Highlands. You get great preaching from the pulpit, and you get great fellowship through small groups. My small group is here today, and I can see them, and they prayed for my baby when he was over in Afghanistan. And we pray for each other in all of our needs, because that's our training, and that's what we can rely on a regular basis. Perfect love casts out fear, if you're following your notes. It says in 1 John 4:18. So fill in the blank here. I will love God and show my faith to him by trusting him in the following situation. What is it that you can't give to him? What is it that has your heart so grieved or so concerned that you haven't had the faith to turn over to him? Write that down and purpose to give it to him this week. And then the last characteristic is why. It's the legacy. In my family, we have a great legacy of military service. Last weekend on Memorial Day, they asked us to stand if we had a military member that died in the line of duty. I stood because my grandpa was in World War II. I never met him. He died on a mission in the Army Air Corps on their 47th mission when his airplane blew up at the end of the runway. My dad retired as a Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force. And you know, what's a real honor for me today is that our kids have been launched and out of the house for quite some time. But today in this service, today, I have one of my heroes at home. And this is that military brat, that daughter that made all those moves over and over. So please welcome with me Bethany Kay, my hero at home. And she's part of that legacy. In addition to that, you've already heard me talk about the world's greatest fighter pilot. He is, if you've never seen him, he is in this service. Please stand up, Kay Bob. And the last person that you're going to meet, I don't think he's ever been in one of my Heroes at Home messages before. This is a young man that is smart, he's handsome, and he's good at sports, Joshua Kay. And speaking of Joshua, the civilian world doesn't always understand military families. And one of the things that I try to do is to educate civilians on the way that military families kind of look at things. Joshua knew he wanted to be in the Army. He's a cadet first class at West Point. He knew that from the time he was 4 years old. When he was in fourth grade, he had been in Young Marines. He had learned about gun safety in Young Marines. He had earned a marksmanship badge. He was all about the weapons and safety and everything. And so I was called into the principal's office by the principal of his school and the teacher, because they were concerned about Joshua and the story that he had written for creative writing for St. Patrick's Day. So let me share that with you. You can all stare at him as I read this. Once upon a time, there was a leprechaun who stole a pot of gold from the king, King Evil of the Dark Ages. A long name, you say, and yes, you are right, but I made that up. So he sent out the secret police, but they were actually terrorists. So they had a 12-gauge, a G36, and assault rifle. And one guy had two P99s. So they found the leprechaun and they started shooting at him. A long battle began, and it lasted about 4 hours. And then when they were out of ammo, they stood up and became a team. Wouldn't that be nice? It's a long story how, but they became a team. So, with two Uzis, an AK-47, a 12-gauge, and an M16 with grenade attachments, and a G36, they invaded the palace and killed the king. And there was peace throughout the land. Deuteronomy 4:9 talks to us about this. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Fill in the blank with this. I want to leave a godly legacy for. Whether you have children or you don't have children, whether you're 20 or whether you're way past retirement, you have a plan. God has a plan and a purpose for your life where there is a legacy. You are still yet to live. As long as you are on this side of the dirt, there is a purpose for you, and there is a legacy that you will live and leave, and it will be your choice what kind of legacy that you leave. Let's purpose to make it a good one. I want to end this with the same message that I give our military members, and I would encourage you that when you see our military, not only thank them, but welcome home the Vietnam veterans. 9 out of 10 have never been welcomed home. So be sure you thank them in that way too. But this is from my heart to the heart of heroes and heroes at home everywhere. And that is very simple. We love you. We are so proud of you. And together, we're going to be all right. Thank you. I would like to pray over you, and if you would just close your eyes and put everything aside, whether it's notes or purses or Bibles, so there aren't any distractions, and just bow your head and close your eyes. And if you're here today and this message has touched you, that you want to be a hero or a hero at home, that you want to partner with God so that he can empower you to be a world changer, and that's something that's touched your heart, just raise your hand. There's people all over. Raise your hands. That you want to change the world. You're not content to leave things the way that they are. Okay, you can put your hands down. And then there's another group that's here tonight or today, and that is those that have never gone through the formality of making Jesus their friend. There are those of you that want to be a hero, but you don't have the power of God living in you, so it's been impossible to do that. And God has been speaking to your heart today, and he has said, today is the day. I want to change you so that I can use you to change the world. But it starts with changing you on the inside. So I want to open up an invitation of faith to those who have maybe even heard about the gospel time and time again, but you've never made that decision to invite God into your life so that you can be the person that he designed you to be and fulfill those plans that he has for you in your life. So if you would like to receive Christ today, while every head is bowed and while every eye is closed, just raise your hand up and look at me, and I will make eye contact with you and agree agree with you because I want to pray over you. So just look at me now and get my attention. I see you there in the back. I'm looking over the audience. I see you. Yes, good decision. And as I'm continuing to look, just look up at me. It'll just be between you and me. We're not going to make you walk the aisle. We're not going to have you stand up. This is just an agreement. I see you. Yes. And looking over on this side as well, I see you. Yes. Be sure and tell your mom or dad about that decision you want to make. Anybody else, just look at me and I can agree with you that you want to make Jesus your friend today. I see you. Yes. And I see you. You can put your hand down. Good job. Anybody else? As we linger here just a moment or two, I see somebody else over here. Yes, I see you. I agree with you. Good decision. Who else? God's tugging on your heart and you want to make it formal. You want to say yes to Jesus. Yes to receiving God. I see you in your life. Okay. Well, now, for those of you that raised your hands, and even if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to pray this prayer, then pray it with me. Now, don't pray out loud because you're not praying this to me or to anyone around you. You're praying this to God. So as I lead you in this prayer, pray it within your mind and your heart, but pray it to Him. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for loving me so much that you came to earth as a man, that you died on the cross for my sins, but that you didn't stay dead. You rose again the third day. I ask you to come into my life to forgive me for my sins and to change me from the inside out. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to help make me a hero and a hero at home as you come into my heart. Thank you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.